Long-time show regular and favourite Steve Gunn on Sideways Through Sound, and as I mentioned at the top of that tune, I have been joined by my very special guest this evening on the programme after all these years. Steve Gunn, welcome to the programme.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Now, it really is great to meet you in person, Steve. As I'm sure you know, you've been something of a fixture on Sideways Through Sound over the years, and in that time, even me, I was really surprised to read just the other day, there have been 13 albums released with your name on them in the last 10 years.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, didn't know that.
That's a busy schedule by anyone's standards, isn't it?
I guess
it?
So.
Goodness yeah. me. Now, some of those releases, Steve, they have been splits and collaborations, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah.
And although you're here in Australia playing alone this time, you do have what seems to be a permanent band around you now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, are some of these band members that you've kind of amassed people that you've been playing with over the years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been musicians that I've been associated with, guys who have played in other bands, people who I've toured with, you know, over the years. And okay. It's kind of like a close-knit kind of group.
That must be lovely if you know, you got to spend all this time with them. It's nice to know that you actually get along, isn't it?
It's helpful.
Yeah, and also, I suppose, you know, that kind of little litmus test, if you've played with them before, you kind of know where they are and how they measure up and, you know, before you commit to going, hey, let's be in a band together.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a lot of some of the guys who I play with, we all, there's a level of trust. And yeah. You know, we all improvise together and we all kind of like know each other's playing and know how to be sympathetic and all that stuff.
So, yeah.
You know, it's important for us. You can't just like call up some homeboy and ask him to come play bass. It doesn't really work that way.
And I think it sort of, you know, transmits into the music that you make ultimately as well, doesn't it?
That connection. Yeah. There's a certain amount of like intuitive playing and decision making that goes along with not only the song stuff, but just, you know, being on stage in general and going along with the flow of the songs, yeah, you know.
Of course. Now, one of my personal favorites from your back catalogue, Steve, is the Golden Gun record. Speaking of collaborations, in many ways, to my ears, a rather sort of unwritten tribute to the late, great J.J. Cale. And I don't mean sort of to be dismissive of Golden Gun in any way.
Oh, no, that's a direct reference that record,
yeah,
you know.
Even with the cover, right?
Yeah, completely.
But so can you tell us, how did this project come about with Michael and Scott from His Golden Messenger?
Basically, it was Corey Rayborn from Three Load Records. He wanted to do something special for Record Store Day.
Ah, was it?
Yeah, so if I can recall correctly, I think that's what it was for. And I think he wanted to do something sort of off the cuff and sort of like, you know, sort of fun,
yeah,
I guess,
right,
for lack of a better word.
Okay.
I was kind of hanging around with Mike and we were like just chit-chatting, and then we just decided to kind of do this sort of J.J. Cale-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I recorded all the stuff in my apartment, and he, you know, they worked at a studio. And I think we just kind of like, it was really loose and really off the cuff and really spontaneous. And it just kind of like, we kind of threw some things against the wall and then put a record together.
Fantastic.
You know? So it's strange because, you know, we were never together in a studio, and that was, you know, just sort of one of those weird sort of things.
All right. I didn't know that actually. And yeah. You know, when I was thinking about asking you this question, I can't actually remember if I've spoken to you about the Golden Gun record, because I spoke to someone about it and it was either you or Michael.
I think you brought it up before.
Yeah, I have a habit of doing that. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Look, we have spoken a number of times around your solo releases, but about your releases specifically as well, Steve. Now, unfortunately, we couldn't quite get our timing right for the last album, Eyes on the Lines, but I do remember talking to you at some point in the past about how you seem to have really found your singing voice. Mm. There seems to be this period where things really shifted into more of a singing style, but here's my question, finally.
Yeah.
Do you think that even now, with Eyes on the Lines, the guitar is still very much the front man?
With Eyes on the Lines, that there's a lot of guitar playing on the record, and particularly James Elkington, who plays guitar on the record, he's such a brilliant guitar player, and he and I kind of feed off each other in this way that I feel like there's this kind of interwoven kind of web of guitar noodlery on that record. And, you know, that's, it kind of overshadows a little bit, you know, certain aspects of my singing, but at the same time, I've been working on singing and have been getting better. So I've been trying, you know, and as I'm getting more interested in songwriting, you know, I feel like my guitar playing has changed, and have been kind of coming up with more simpler ideas and more simpler structures and kind of ways of, you know, putting songs together, where before I was like essentially singing over like solo guitar.
Yeah, the guitar kind of doing all the work.
It maybe took me a little while to kind of like slow the wheels down a little bit and really think about song structure
and have the confidence and let your voice shine through as well.
And that helped. I mean, just playing gigs was something that really kind of pushed me into learning how to project my voice.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm always trying to kind of perpetuate being in a band and making it good and making music and continuing forward, and
yeah,
you know, as long as the wheels don't fall off, you know. And I, you know, and I also feel like I'm always kind of moving in certain directions and progressing and thinking about records, and I have a lot more things I want to try and more records to make, and I'm feel grateful for the guys that I'm surrounded by and all that stuff. I'm inspired by them as well. And
yeah, you know. Fantastic. Well, look, you know, speaking of, you know, keeping going till the wheels fall off, we're very glad that the wheels have stayed on and you've made it down to Australia finally.
Yeah.
And Steve, not only that, but it seems that your airline carrier have helped you bring your guitar here in one piece, which is something of a miracle these days.
Yeah, thank God.
Now, you have very kindly agreed to play a couple of songs for us, and I think we're gonna finish off the session with a couple from the new album, but I think a bit of a treat in the middle of our chat here. Steve, what would you like to play first for us?
First, I'll play an older song called Old Strange.
Fantastic. You're tuned to 2SER on 107.3. This is Sideways Through Sound, and I'm live in the studio with Steve Gunn, and we're going to open up this session with Old Strange.
Wrap me up in your best. get hit with such a muting blow. You push so hard, move so slow. Plenty there for us all. Tall and strong, tall and strong. Chop him down, wrap him up. Chop him down, wrap him up. In a silver shroud. Cause the strange coming back around. Was a separate place, all among the twisted space of muted noises. They hear the echoed voices. Thank you.
Steve Gunn, live in session on Sideways Through Sound with the instantly recognisable Old Strange from Steve's rather extensive back catalogue. And what a pleasure to hear that played live in the studio. If you have just joined me, welcome to the programme. Yes, I am in the studio with a long-time show regular and favourite Steve Gunn. Now, Steve, we talked earlier about this back catalogue of yours, in addition to which all sorts of other bits pop up online here and there, and you recently recorded a couple of songs for the rather wonderful Aquarium Drunkard's Lanyap Sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the Smiths are not necessarily a surprise choice, but I wonder, actually, just kind of going round the houses a little bit, is Johnny Marr the hook for you in the Smiths?
Well, certainly he's one of my favorite kind of guitar players, and I have this sort of interesting relationship with the Smiths. You know, I really liked them when I was a lot younger, and you know, I'm certainly a big fan of Morrissey and his singing and his you know, lyric writing and stuff. I mean, I think he's a brilliant lyricist for sure.
I never thought they were depressing me. I always thought they were. Thought they were hilarious.
Yeah, and I also feel like there's also this just the one. I think one thing that really drew me into them and kind of becoming obsessive with their music is there is this underlying sense of hope in their songs. Right. I mean, there's, you know, definitely misery and all that kind of, and sort of repressed sort of feelings, but
that's just being,
you know,
English.
I think it's, yeah. But there are some real kind of like hopeful for the outsider, you know, and that sentiment really kind of spoke to me as a young kid, you know.
Sure.
To get back to Johnny Marr, and as a young guitar player, his arrangements always kind of perplexed me, and it made me dig a little deeper and kind of figure out what he was actually doing.
Right.
And the fact that he was layering so many different things and trying all these different sorts of experiments in the studio, you know, made me and a lot of my friends kind of nerd out and talk about like how they made the songs and all that
really?
Stuff, you know.
Really? Okay, so look, Johnny Marr, yeah, undisputedly a marvelous guitarist, and you know, being from Manchester myself,
right,
I have to take this opportunity now to ask you about other Manchester groups with guitarists of some note, and you can be vocal, please be vocal. I was going to say you can just pull a face if you want, but this is radio and that's not going to work.
Vinnie Riley.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't think about Vinnie Riley.
He's also,
yeah,
you know,
he's very unique, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you about thoughts on John Squire from the Stone Roses.
Yeah, I don't know his playing particularly, but I'm a big Stone Roses fan, but I've never like dug too deep into their like arrangements.
Okay.
But I'm definitely a fan.
Mm. Okay.
Is there something unique about his playing?
I just think he's like a bit of a guitarist.
Okay, yeah.
That's kind of what I get. And, you know, I mean, that's coming from me. I can just about fumble my way through a couple of Neil Young songs on an acoustic.
Right. So,
okay, one more Manchester guitarist, Steve, and then I will absolutely put this to bed, dare I ask. Noel Gallagher.
Okay, that's really funny you brought that up, because I just watched the Supersonic documentary on the airplane here.
Yeah, right.
And for me, I always, you know, just, I never understood Oasis, and I always kind of wrote them off and just as this kind of like, I didn't understand them, and I didn't know their like where they came from, and the fact that Noel was a roadie for Inspiral Carpets, and he had this whole background in being in the scene, and they were, you know, after watching this film, I realized that they were the real thing. They were badasses, like, and they didn't, it was also really cool how they really pushed back against, you know, like, tabloids and the press, and they said whatever they, you know, Noel didn't mess around and said what was on his mind. And
he still does.
Yeah.
he still does.
And it's just also, I don't know, I kind of have this newfound respect for them.
Excellent.
It's funny you asked that.
So. Excellent.
Yeah.
And look, there's no doubt whatsoever, Steve, that, you know, regarding the guitar, your technical skill is extraordinary, and after having just watched you play Old Strange for the first time right here, goodness me, blown away. So with these roots, you know, as we talked about the Smiths, and with your roots in indie rock, for want of a better phrase. Was it a natural progression for you playing, you know, towards fingerstyle, or was there like a pivotal moment for you perhaps where you went, you know what, enough of this like three chord thrash?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there was. I mean, you know, when I started playing really like formulaic music, you know, going as a teenager, going to guitar lessons at the local guitar store, learning how to play chords and going through your little book. And I was like sort of looking for other things. And then I got interested in playing with people, but it was just like kind of real boneheaded kind of music, which I still enjoy as well. But I always felt like I wanted to kind of explore it more. And I was lucky to be growing up in Philadelphia where there's great radio programming and there are great record stores. And there was a great jazz station at Temple University, where I went to college. And I learned a lot about jazz just from listening to the radio. And then that kind of led into playing other music. And as I was playing guitar, I started more playing by ear and learning just sort of random melodies and listening to all kinds of crazy music.
Right.
And for me as a guitar player, I realized even like a direct link from perhaps like Sonic Youth, where they're playing in open tunings, as I started kind of detuning my guitar and kind of opening up ways of sonically kind of experimenting. And then, you know, I discovered the music of acoustic players like John Fahey, and another really important player was Sandy Bull, where these guys are, you know, they're playing in kind of a finger style, but also kind of opening up the guitar when playing open chords. And for me, that really opened up this whole other kind of expansive way of playing, and I kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, right.
And kind of didn't look back from there.
Now, look, Steve Gunn's latest album, Eyes on the Lines, is out through Matador, and he is playing tomorrow night at the Basement here in Sydney. If you want to go and check out his skills, and you absolutely should do, doors are at 7:30, and Steve Gunn is supported by Angie here in Sydney. Steve Gunn, really, after all these years.
Yeah, it's been nice.
It has been so good to meet you in person finally. Thank you for spending some time with me
on
the show.
Great to be here.
Now, you are going to close out this evening's session with a couple of tunes from the new album, Eyes on the Lines. What would you like to start off with?
I'll play Ancient Jewels.
Steve Gunn, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're tuned into 2SER on 107.3. This is Sideways Through Sound, and I'm live in session with Steve Gunn. Steve's going to close out with a couple of tunes from the brand new album, Eyes on the Line, starting off with Ancient Jewels, and that's going to lead into Night Wander.
Direction and found a way. You are listening to Sideways Through Sound on 2SER
the same.